You're listening to Photo Biz Exposed with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Today's guest is Mr. Nice Guy in the photography world, Alan Moyle. He's a terrifically talented photographer now based in Melbourne, Victoria, and before that, Tasmania, where he still travels to photograph clients. Alan focuses on weddings, portraits and headshots, plus personal projects. Most notably, his work with comedians and his Behind the Curtain project that culminated in an exhibition and a book. I interviewed Alan for episode 56 of the podcast, where we focus heavily on networking, personal projects and having your work exhibited. And today, the plan is to focus on something totally different. If you don't know Alan, you may not be aware that he's gone through some big life changes in the last few years. He's looking and feeling a lot better for it, and that's why I'm looking to learn more. Alan, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back. Was it really that long ago?
Nearly 3 years, I think. It's getting on.
Wow. Have I known you that long?
That's scary. When I was writing that intro and reading it, I've put down that you've gone through some big life changes, and I'm thinking, I wonder what the listener will be thinking when I say that, or even what Alan will be thinking.
Yes, I'm now a woman. No, no.
Well, that's what came into my head too. Especially, I was just reading your about page, and you actually are responsible for the fashion that your whole family wears. Is that right? Including your wife?
Oh, pretty much, yeah. My wife doesn't trust herself sort of shopping, so I am the one who definitely, she won't go clothes shopping without me generally. And if she does, generally we return to the store. So, yeah.
You're not there trying on dresses and checking how they look?
No, we're different sizes. Okay. It doesn't work anymore.
So what are the changes that you've gone through over the last few years?
Well, there's been a whole heap of, I guess, general health and mindset kind of changes, which for those who, I guess when I was majority of my kind of life, I was the bigger kind of guy, always the large kid at school and all that kind of stuff and all those sort of health things, issues that kind of came through that. Well, I guess when I moved from Tasmania to Melbourne, we had that shift where I was not the, I think this got covered in the last episode anyway, where my wife sort of had the full-time work and then I was the pretty much stay-at-home dad. And so I had a lot more time with Saffron and things like that. And one of those things I realized when she was, I think, three, was that I really did not have the stamina and energy to kind of keep chasing her. So I don't think I was really being the dad that I could have been, like needing afternoon naps while she was just watching TV. And there just came a point where I went, this isn't right. And then I kind of analyzed everything else and went, well, let's see, I'm in my sort of getting towards my mid-30s and yeah, I shouldn't be this tired. I should still have more energy in life. You know, I shouldn't come home and after a wedding and have a wedding hangover, which I've discovered is pretty prevalent throughout wedding photographers, that whole shoot a wedding or shoot a back-to-back wedding and then you're completely dead for the next day, which I noticed was having an impact on my family life because, you know, it's pretty much I could have been away for the whole weekend because I wasn't really there the next day because I was just exhausted, hungover pretty much. So, yeah, made that change to get rid of all that sort of stuff, get healthier, get a bit fitter and did a bit heap of personal development too just to keep me on track. And I think things are not really talked about much in sort of photography or business world in general is how much more effective you can be in your business when you're actually looking after yourself.
I suspect, and like I said, I only suspect this, that most people would go through that change of that the weight loss thing to look better. Sure, you're probably going to feel better as a result, but I think most people would go into it to look better. They just get to a stage where they think, well, I can't keep doing this. Was that part of it for you or was it really the fact that you just were out of energy?
Well, I guess, yeah, the looking better thing was something as well. It wasn't really high up in my thing. It wasn't, I'm going to do this so I can look better. But as a process of going through this, you know, I wouldn't go swimming or things like that because I was too scared to, you know, swim without a t-shirt on. If I did swim, it was always basically covered up. So just that extra confidence that came from, you know, losing, well, I've lost about 20 kilos and kept that off now for nearly 3 years. Yeah, the extra confidence I've had in actually going things and enjoying going to the beach and to the pool and things like that. So, yeah, that is that extra thing. I guess my clothes look better on me. I still pretty much wear the same uniform with jeans and a t-shirt. So that's my basic thing. So I guess the t-shirts just fit a bit better now.
When you say 20 kilos, for the American listeners, we're talking 40 pounds or thereabouts.
I think that's about it.
I think it's around double. I'm wondering how long it took you to lose the 20 kilos and how long into that process did you actually start to feel and look better?
Well, it took me 6 months from when I actually made that initial decision to drop that 20 kilos. And then initially there was the first day, it was in the first 30 days. So that was where I committed to a pretty, it wasn't actually that harder change in the lifestyle changes, but you know, I just made sure I was sort of eating the right things, following a program that worked well for me. And yeah, in that first sort of 2 weeks, I really did notice how much more energy I did have. You know, I think it was the first wedding I did afterwards. It was like, that's when it hit me. It's like the Sunday morning, waking up and going, oh, I'm awake before my alarm again. And I don't feel like staying in bed anymore. I just need to go out and do things. So it was a pretty quick for me to do all that stuff.
Yeah, right. What effect has that had on your business?
Well, I think on the business side of things, I'm definitely more focused in terms of the work I'm doing. I feel I'm more creative as well. So I've kind of, as photographers do, we go through these transitions in styles and how we shoot and things. And yeah, I feel like I think my focus in terms around the business and while I'm actually shooting as well is definitely there, because it's sort of embarrassing to admit, but I actually feel bad for some of my wedding clients from before, because I'm like, hey, that'd be a really cool shot, but oh, I don't really want to walk up that hill.
Really?
Really, that's kind of how bad it was. I was at that point where I didn't think of it at the time, but it was just like naturally in my head going, hey, that'd be awesome. No, it won't be. Anyway, we'll move over here somewhere else. That's flat over there. Let's go there. Because I was at that point where, you know, going up a couple of flights of stairs, you know, I was almost morbidly obese, like on the scales. That's where I was kind of about to hit if I didn't make any changes.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's a photo example on your Facebook page, don't you?
Yes.
Why do you have that there?
Why do I have that there?
Yeah, because you've got, there's three separate photos showing you at different stages from when you were bigger to now. Why is that there?
I guess I keep it there to keep me kind of inspired and motivated, because I want to make sure that I am sort of maintaining things. It's easy to do a transformation and then go backwards. That's what most people tend to do, doing a diet kind of thing. And, you know, I really do, I had a lot of people approach me about it as well. You know, I was in Tasmania on the weekend and just walking around my old town and catching up with people, and there's a few people I just bumped into and they didn't recognize me. So it's kind of good from that point of view. And because of that, people have asked me what I've done, and I've actually developed that sideline of actually helping people to do it as well, to actually get healthier, wherever it is they need to lose weight or they just need that more energy or to, you know, sleep better.
So you are almost unrecognizable from that first photo. I mean, I didn't know you then, but if I saw those two different guys, you back then and you now walking down the street, I would never guess you're the same person. It's amazing.
Ah, thanks. It was interesting. Unfortunately, I had a funeral for a guy I went to school with about 2 months ago, and I hadn't seen people from school for some of them for 19 years. And one of the ones I was quite good friends with at school, you know, the first thing she said to me was, well, she swore and said, wow, you actually do look as good as your Facebook photos. So that was a nice compliment in a strange situation.
That's awesome. Look, it might be an impossible question to answer, but do you think it affects bookings, the way you are now compared to how you were?
I don't know. I guess I had that transition thing where I was meeting clients beforehand, but I think certainly energy-wise, when I do meet the clients, because I am bringing more to it, I guess a bit more energetic in all areas of my life. So it's not just, you know, walking around. It's like I get a lot more passionate and fired up about things. So I think it probably does help in the booking side of things. So it hasn't really been a lot. I've had the transitions in my business in that period too, because I've, you know, wasn't doing it too hard while Saffron was not in school, but now she's at school. I'm starting to break it up a bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The whole plan for this interview is that it comes out early in the new year, and that's why we're recording it now. And I know that's a big time when people have these New Year's resolutions. And one of the biggest things is to lose weight, get fitter, work on the business. It sounds like it'd be a good thing to sort of tie all those things together. What have you found is the best way to get started if someone wants to make that transition and drop some kilos and feel better, have more energy, that sort of thing? You know, the things that you've gone through.
I guess the first thing is to focus on why you want to do it. If the why is sort of strong, if you've got the desire, if you kind of know, like for me, it was like, well, yeah, the business was a secondary thing, but it's because of my family. Like I needed to be the husband and the father that I kind of promised I would be in the wedding and then when Saffron was born. So for me, that was my motivation. Like I wanted to have that energy, to be present when, you know, I was around, rather than my whole head being in work and my energy to completely consume there. So finding that reason why you actually want to do it, it's got to be a strong kind of motivator to really want to keep you going, because it's so easy on these kind of things. Like, look at New Year's resolutions. They tend to last maybe, if you're lucky, a couple of weeks.
A day.
Most people tend to, yeah, an afternoon. I'm never drinking again. Oh, it's lunchtime. Oh, well, just a quick one.
So,
that is one of the biggest sort of factors when you're setting a goal like that, because I'm big into goal setting as well, is to really look at the motivation behind the goal. Because if you have something written down, not just the goal, like I want to get this by this point at this thing, say I want to lose, say, 10 pounds by February 28th or sooner. The or sooner is a great thing, because that means you don't hit the deadline. You want to get it sooner if you can. But it's also having next year goals, that captivating reason why you want to do it. This goes for any goal. So, because that's the thing that's going to keep you motivated towards it, because goals, you get excited and then it just gets a bit, a bit hard in the middle. And then that's when most people kind of drop off. So having that why to look back on is really the key.
Do you remember the day or the time or the general time that you said to yourself, right, I'm going to do this?
I don't remember the exact day, but I know it was in the afternoon. Saf and I dropped her afternoon naps, but I was still needing mine. And, I just woke up and she was watching TV and I'm like going, it's a nice sunny day outside. This is enough. I need to make that change.
Yeah, right. So what did you do? Like, the switch goes, I've got to make a change. What's the next step for you?
Well, I didn't actually know what the next step was initially, but then randomly I met up with a friend. Well, a friend introduced me to someone who I thought I'd get along with. And as the weird universe kind of things happen, she just started on this program called Isogenics, which is what I've sort of been doing and sort of follow. And yeah, that was just one of those things. I made a decision. The universe happened to put that in front of me. And so I just went, I'm looking for something. I'll just jump on that. And that's what I did.
And that's what you've done the whole time now?
Yeah, that's what I did too. I pretty much just do it on a maintenance kind of phase. You know, sometimes I'll jump into a bit heavier if I, notice that, after, say, there was a pretty stressful overconsumption period during the appers and the event this year where things kind of derailed a bit and I noticed the energy was waning, so I jumped back on it a bit heavier then. But, it's pretty easy to maintain that sort of system, and, that system's not for everyone. But, I've had and maintained those great results. I've helped actually quite a few other photographers noticed what I was doing and have jumped on it, and I've been supporting them as well. So they've sort of noticed those results. But again, not for everyone. The main thing is to find something that works for you and pursue it.
Mm-hmm. Mate, I know very little about Isogenics. I've seen stuff, not a lot of good stuff. And I've seen mixed things come through my Facebook feed. Not recently, it's probably a few months ago now. And you see, I guess it's the same as paleo. I see that pop up in my feed all of a sudden and then it disappears. But I see people attacking Isogenics or paleo or these other diets or fads. What is it? What's Isogenics? Is it no food?
Oh, no, it's basically a nutritional cleansing system. So the basics of it is the food that we mostly consume these days is due to overfarming and soil issues and things like that is nutrient deficient. So because the soil doesn't have the nutrients in it, the food doesn't have the nutrient quantity in it that it used to. And so we still eat the same amount of food, but we don't get the same nutrients. And so what this is essentially doing is bringing back the nutrients into the body. And by doing that, helps the body just get back to what it used to do before we sort of killed it with all the pesticides and fertilizers and antibiotics that get shoved into animals and things like that. And so it helps the body just get back into balance and do what it's supposed to do.
So what's the difference between, say, having those products that you're having or eating organic?
So organic still isn't quite there, where that nutrients still aren't there in the organic sort of food, because you've got to think it has been picked and shipped and stored as well. So there are sort of elements that come through in that sort of level of quality in the nutrients isn't still there in those foods. And it's also the other part of it too is the toxicity in the environment, just by stuff that we clean with, environmental things in the water that we sort of ingest through the skin, all that sort of those sort of toxins and things that the body's not used to, which beforehand the body used to be able to flush out pretty well. Our body doesn't know what to do with it. One of the things I learned was that because the body doesn't know how to deal with it, it actually encases those little toxins and sticks that fat around your organ, which is that fat that's really hard for most people to lose. So it's called visceral fat. And so, you know, I looked into the science and the research behind it, and even non-isogenics-based research that sort of showed that by doing this kind of cleansing system, which is also a form of intermittent fasting, and that actually helps remove that toxic fat around your organs.
Okay, so these products that you're having, so you have to really do that in conjunction with eating less. That's a big part of it.
Oh, not eating less, I guess eating what we should be eating. So
Less?
Portion sizes are generally out of control. I know when I was in the US recently, like a standard meal is like maybe 2 to 3 times the food that we should be eating. And we wonder why we sort of feel tired afterwards, because our body's like processing a bucket load of food that it doesn't really need. But, you know, everyone has different bodies and different sort of food requirements. But this has been really good in terms of helping keep portion sizes down. Well, I used to eat really well, but eat too much. So the education I got from all this in terms of how much, you know, proteins, carbs, fats, all those sort of things that need to be eaten to keep the body in balance has been a very eye-opening thing too.
Mm-hmm. You talked about being at the APPAs and, you know, around your AIPP mates and, you know, on the judging week. And, you know, when you're at those things, there's lollies, there's snacks, there's muffins and cakes and soft drinks. And like, it's so hard to resist all that stuff. If you're there, especially if you're in that little trapped environment, you know, doing your judging or watching the print awards, or even if you're at a conference, what do you do to stop yourself from grabbing all that stuff?
I grab some occasionally. The whole ISA program is based around living life as well. So it's not about cutting out absolutely everything. It's all kind of in a balance side of things. But I do also plan for things like that. And it comes down to weddings as well. Like for weddings, I used to be horrible in terms of like, right, I need to, you know, I'm not going to get a lot of time to eat. Generally, there's a packet of lollies in the car, or I'm going through the McDonald's drive-thru on the way home after a wedding, which always makes me feel deflated because you leave the wedding, you see them eating all that great food and you eat the Subway at the McDonald's on the way home. And it just was never good. But yeah, I guess I plan more. So I will take healthy options with me. Like I'll take some of the isogenic food with me, but I'll also take, you know, like carrots and apples and nuts and things like that. I will also always be prepared when I go to things, because I do know the effect it has on my concentration, energy levels, all those sort of things if I do eat bad. So especially at APA, like, when you're judging, and you know, most of the time I'm judging 3 days pretty solidly, to give the justice to all the prints, need to have that energy on par, because, you know, you can't feel tired and miss something and someone misses out on the award because of it. Or if you come to an argument, you've still got to be on, or a discussion about a print where you're challenging, you've still got to be on track and be able to respond, you know, as well to the last print of the day as much as you do to the first print.
Mm-hmm. I get that. So is what you're saying that you need to keep your calorie intake up enough so that you can function but don't have too much, and make sure the calorie intake is good calories?
Yes, because not all the calories are created equal. Definitely, there's good calories, bad calories. It's just a matter of, I guess, educating and learning what is good, what is not so good for you, and, again, listening to your body and knowing what certain foods will do to it.
Okay. How hard was it for you when you started down this road? Yeah, in the very beginning, because I guess that's the hardest. Well, is that the hardest part, the start?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, so you make this decision, you're going to start. How tough is it?
Well, my wife didn't like me for the first week. I can tell you that.
I'm guessing that wasn't because of your wife's mood swings.
No, not at that time. No, for the first week, because I was making those changes, and, you know, I used to drink 6 or 7 cups of coffee a day as well, so I made the decision to cut back on that kind of thing. And I still enjoy coffee now, but I don't need it to keep that energy sort of moving. So for that first week, I guess my body was fighting, because the whole thing is, most of the time with foods and things like that, our body goes into more of an acidic state because of it. And there's a whole heap of other things out there that help your body go down into a more alkaline state. And so my body was highly acidic. And then, of course, it didn't like alkaline foods going into it and the high quality nutrition. So because of that, it started to resist it a bit. And of course, that means you're going to have some initial issues until your body gets used to it. So after about a week.
When you say issues, you mean what, mood swings, or you just feel sick?
I was actually more tired. I had some headaches. That's probably from the massive caffeine withdrawals. So yeah, definitely I was a bit tired. I was a bit crabby too because, you know, I was a bit hangry to start with.
And that passed?
Yeah, yeah, it definitely passed. It passes forever. So it's just going through that sort of knowing that that's going to happen. And I was set up and prepared because, you know, the person who helped me get started in this kind of warned me about this is what potentially was going to happen.
Yeah. You hang out with a lot of photographers and you've probably got other friends as well. How many of them do you think are overweight? You don't have to name names, by the way.
Well, John is. No. I really don't know. I don't really sort of think about that. My friends are the friends. And
in general, I mean, the people you hang out with, do you think most people could do with dropping a few kilos?
Well, I guess I've switched to the people I've kind of hang around with. So most of the people I hang with now are with quite healthy.
Okay, so you've changed the group that you associate with to fit in with your lifestyle.
Well, it's just sort of happened. But yeah, I look around at, you know, the people I'm sort of with. Let me just flick through the Facebook list now. But I guess statistically, like most of, you know, 50, was it something? There's over 50% of Australians here are at least sort of in that overweight sort of range. I think it might even be more than that. And it's only, I know the statistics mean and show it's just getting worse. So statistically, I'd say that yes.
Very diplomatic, Alan. Very diplomatic.
Well, that's an interesting question. What I'm going to say, I'm just going to say yes. All my friends are fat.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's right.
Some are extremely healthy. Some do triathlons. Some play computer games all day. But then again, some computer playing guys also run marathons.
True. I mean, look, and what you say about your group of friends and the way they change organically, that's so true. I mean, I didn't know a bike rider 5 or 6 years ago, and now most of my friends are bike riders.
Yeah.
It just happens. It morphs like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, I met people, you know, I started going to a gym, you know, earlier this year. I hadn't really done much exercise up until that point, apart from, you know, some dog walking and things. But, you know, from that, I guess the interests changed and therefore friendship groups changed. You know, you've still got those core friends that, you know, you'll have forever. And, you know, some of them are healthy, some of them aren't. Their choices, whatever they decide to do.
What do you like when someone invites you over for dinner and you're not really keen on eating the food that they're putting out, or they've suggested they go to a certain restaurant? You think, oh, that's not going to be healthy for me.
Well, I generally can find something on a menu that's pretty healthy. But then there are times, like, for instance, this weekend, it's my wife's birthday. So it's fancy cocktails in the city. It's like, I'm not denying myself. I still love to eat. I'm not.
You don't look like it anymore.
I'm not a rabbit. I don't just eat sort of rabbit food and things like that. So everything in balance, everything in moderation. So yeah, we'll go out and have, you know, an amazing meal somewhere and not be stressed about it, because, you know, we know that the rest of our eating and things like that is on par, and, you know, it's not going to affect it.
Okay. Let's say, you know, you're going out for a cocktail night. There's going to be probably finger food, which isn't going to be super healthy. You're going to be going way overboard with the calories. Do you have a fasting day the day before, or do you think, okay, I'm going to have to punish myself the next day and fast the next day? How do you handle it?
Well, you say fasting as a punishment. It might sound like it initially, but I'm in the middle of a 2-day fast at the moment, which is part of the system if you want to go that far. But no, I generally fast once a week, so it doesn't really kind of matter. Like, I know that next day I'll probably feel a bit, you know, worse for wear, but that's what generally happens after you have a night of cocktails. So I'll just keep on with what I normally do and it'll just roll on. So I'm not stressed about it.
All right. I'm intrigued here because, so you mentioned fasting and you mentioned intermittent fasting as part of this, the program that you're doing. Is this the same as this 5-2 diet that I've heard? You know, we eat what you want for 5 days and fast for two?
Pretty much, yeah.
So what do you have on those 2 days or that one day that you're fasting? Is it literally nothing?
No, you still have enough sort of calories and things like that to keep your blood sugar up so you don't kind of fall over. As part of this system, there's some nutrient dense tonics that I have on the day, and some, I'll actually have a green tea infused dark chocolate, which I absolutely love on these days as well. So, you know, I might have half an apple or things like that just to keep things moving. But essentially what it's doing is giving the digestive system a break, like giving it a rest from processing all that food. And yeah, the first couple were a bit tough, but now I just function pretty much normally on those days. So,
are you doing this twice a week, fasting?
Depends on where I am and what sort of, what kind of goals are kind of there. I know that, you know, coming into this, well, it's sort of December now, and so I know I'm hitting into, I'm going to have a few more parties and different social gatherings. So I'm just sort of getting into kind of a state where I'm, you know, feeling a lot better and just doing a couple of double cleanses just to keep on track.
All right. So where do you see yourself on the day that this podcast goes live? So let's say the 2nd of January.
Yeah.
2017. Are you going to be the same weight as you are now, or are you going to be heavier after all the partying through December and you're going to need to drop some kilos?
I reckon it'll be pretty consistent.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, definitely. Like, my wife just had an ankle ligament reconstruction, and we thought the surgeon was exaggerating when he said 10 days bed rest, but he was serious. It was 10 days straight bed rest. And my wife does like some comfort food occasionally. She's on the system as well. And, you know, once she's been fairly sedentary for about 6 weeks, and just, you know, again, having some comfort food, eating pretty well, following the system, she got out of bed and weighed herself after the, she was moving around a little bit, but nothing strenuous, no exercise as such. And yeah, she'd actually maintained her weight for that whole period.
Wow.
And hadn't put anything on, so.
Pretty good. When you mention to people, let's say, you know, you're talking to me about isogenics on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of photographers listening right now. How do you picture they're taking it? What do you think is running through their mind when they hear you say isogenics?
Well, those who probably know about it have got a mind made up the same way that people have their mind made up about paleo or whatever other sort of things are out there. Those who don't know anything about it might be curious about it. I don't really know what they'd think about it. So,
okay, what about when you're talking to someone face-to-face? Hey, Alan, how did you lose all this weight? And you say, oh, I'm following an isogenics program. What sort of reactions do you get?
Well, you get people who have heard about it and see it's good. You've had people who have heard about it and don't know anything about it. People who heard about it and think it's all bad, which again, as I've said, it's not for everyone, but some people think it should be for everyone and try to force it upon people. Like, I'm not into forcing things upon people as such. If people can see it can work and they want to give it a go and, again, follow, I guess, be coachable and ask questions about it, because the biggest thing about this is also the accountability side of things. So there's a group of us who do it and we help each other out and help people that want to be helped through it. Some people just, you know, think that it's going to be a magic pill and just work immediately, whereas, you know, things sometimes need to be tweaked and stuff like that. And there are some people who are just completely anti it, and that's fine. They can be anti it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. You mentioned goal setting before. You said that was one of the biggest things sort of to wrap your head around and get sorted out first. Have you got any ideas or tips about goal setting that have worked for you?
Yeah, definitely. The biggest one is that why kind of thing, figuring out what it is that you want to do and also structuring the goals so that it's not just I'm going to lose weight. That's not an effective goal.
Why is that not a goal? Like, I would love to drop 5 kilos because I know it would make me faster on the hills on my bike.
Okay, so you want to be faster on the hills than the bike?
Yep. I'm not thinking business now. I'm thinking...
Yeah. That's fine. So, okay, so on the bike, that's fine. You want to be faster on the hills. That's great. So that's your why. So faster on the hills than the bike is great. But then 5 kilos. So it's actually putting those 5 kilos is good because you've got a measurement on it. So just losing weight, that doesn't have that kind of, it's not measurable. Whereas when you say 5 kilos, that's something you can actually measure. And then also having that sort of completion date. I want to lose 5 kilos by the 28th of February, 2017 or sooner. That makes it a bit more of a complete goal. So you actually do have that sort of deadline to work towards, so you know it's always happening. And then having that reminder. So it's even in, you know, books like Think and Grow Rich, which is by Napoleon Hill, which is one of those sort of business books and basically personal development books, which is just, I think it was 1939 it was written. It's still being credited by, you know, top leaders in business now as one of the most influential books of all time. The whole thing is keep the goals in front of you. So look at your goal in the morning, look at your goal in the evening, because then that sort of sets it in process and your mind kind of, even subconsciously, is thinking that these are the goals, that this is what I need to be doing today to actually get to that goal.
Mm. See, I totally get that. I get the idea of it and how it's meant to work. And for me, like, let's say I've got this goal. I want to drop 5 kilos so I'm faster on my bike. And then I walk out after recording this podcast and Linda's just made some banana cake. And it's got chocolate chip cookies in it. It looks and smells awesome. There's no way I'm not having any. But you're telling, really, if I've got the goal, I shouldn't go anywhere near it, should I?
Well, then obviously you don't want to climb those hills very fast.
I do.
That's not a strong enough why.
I want to do both. I want to eat the banana cake and go fast.
Well, then you do something that's going to help you balance it out.
So what do you do? is that when it just does come down to willpower? I mean, you've done this.
Pretty much, yeah.
It is willpower. Okay.
Yeah.
Would you go in and have a smaller piece of banana cake, or you have no banana cake?
I would probably have a smaller piece.
And then walk away from it.
Yeah. It's like birthday parties. I'm nuts for cake. So I'll always have some. But, you know, unlike beforehand where I'd have three or four slices because it's so good, I won't. But, yeah, it definitely just comes down to that sort of willpower. And it did take me some time to get there. So I know that when my body kind of shifted into that more alkaline state, because I used to be the drive to the petrol station, get petrol, and it's like, ooh, 2-for-1 chocolate bars. Yes, I will have two.
And I see that does work when those guys ask that.
Oh, yeah, it does. But I also know that, you know, I was highly addicted to sugar, and sugar, you know, is worse than, what is it, some of those highly addictive drugs. Like the research out there shows that when that sugar gets into your body, well, you just have to see that sugar film to actually show what it actually does to your system, because then you just want more and you want more. So I was like that. But then, you know, 2 weeks into following this isogenic system, my cravings for all that kind of stuff had gone. I didn't actually want to eat it. You know, I went to buy it. I was like, actually, no, I don't actually feel like eating it. I don't actually want it anymore. Actually, I'm not craving it.
Was that a mindset thing, or you actually listened to your body and it said, I don't need to have it?
No, the idea of actually having it didn't actually appeal to me. It's like it had turned into something I didn't want to eat, which is what it was.
Okay. So by this stage, 1 or 2 weeks into it, you would have already seen some weight drop too, wouldn't you?
Yes, yeah.
So you'd probably be starting to feel, you get that other side of the psychology working, don't you, where I'm actually starting to see results. So it's easier to say no.
Yes, there's starting to get some momentum happening, yeah.
Yeah, right. How long does it take to get that momentum for you?
Well, for me in this system, it took a couple of, it was about that sort of 1.5 to 2 weeks.
Yeah, right, so pretty quick. Although when I say pretty quick, that's a lot of meals I've got to think about beforehand. It's not easy, is it, what you've done?
Well, for me, it wasn't that hard. I guess everyone sort of feels things differently, but I guess I had that reason why I wanted to do it, and I got through it, and yeah.
The people you've helped, you would have seen some of them fail and some of them go well at this.
Yeah, some have like amazing results. Like I was walking with a photographer friend, I've known him for probably as long as I've been a photographer, about 15 years. Today we went for a walk this morning and, you know, he's 30 days in and he's lost 10 centimetres around his waist. And he's like, I've got to buy new suits for weddings now, which he's really happy about. And then some people, yeah, I guess some people, well, I know the fact that the people who have had issues with it, they may have had, you know, some kind of allergic reaction to something, or most of the time, because that allergic stuff is really rare, most of the time it's actually just been that they didn't actually listen to instructions. They wanted things quick and fast and thought that they could change a proven system. And unfortunately, they're not like the scientists and the nutritionists who put this together and hadn't had all that experience and didn't quite follow what they said. So, yeah, that's where the other people had issues.
Okay. How early on into that, right at the beginning when you decided to make the change, did you start doing the intermittent fasting?
That first week.
Oh, really? Okay. So that would have been a shock. That would have been tough, I imagine.
Yeah, that was one of those days where my wife was like going, I'm taking the child and we're leaving. So.
This goal setting thing, is that something that you had already before you started this, or have you learned that because of this?
I had set goals before, but this is kind of more on an aside from it anyway. So the goal setting was kind of, I guess, it is part of the isogenic side of things, but I've also done additional courses outside of photography and things just around goal setting anyway. So that's actually one of the things I talked about at the event. So I've actually read a lot of books and got right into it because I knew that I could be achieving more and I just had to figure out why I wasn't achieving things. And my goals were pretty crappy and loose. So I had to basically analyze where I was and went, right, I've got to set better goals. How do I do that? I do a course where I learn.
Okay. What did you learn? Like, how do we set goals? If I wanted to set a goal, you know, around photography and business, you know, I want to book 20 weddings next year. You know, is that a goal?
Yes. When I do that, because I've done that when I moved to Melbourne, I was like, right, I want to book 10 Melbourne weddings by, and I put a date on it too.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the, I can't even remember when it was. It was sort of March kind of thing because I've realised a lot of people down here in Australia get engaged in that sort of summer period. So I knew that, that was going to be a time. And so set the goal that I want to hit that period by then, and then I break it down. So I look at the goal and figure out what do I actually need to do to get there. And so, you know, not being wanting to spend a lot of money on advertising magazines, which is what I used to do, I knew that referral partners were going to be the biggest source of weddings. So it was looking back at, right, what photographers do I know that, you know, I can network with and catch up with and who, you know, might be interested in throwing some of their, you know, overflow weddings my way. And so that's where I started to get a few weddings over here in Melbourne. And also just, you know, meeting up with celebrants and other people. So my goal was, you know, well, the steps of the goal were like, right, well, once a week I'm going to have lunch or a coffee with someone who could potentially be a referral partner. Sometimes they turn to referral partners, sometimes they don't. So that was one thing. And is that answering the question?
Yeah, it is. So you basically, if you set yourself the goal, you wanted the 10 weddings when you got to Melbourne within a certain date, say by March, then you looked at how you're going to get that and then work backwards from there.
Yeah.
You knew that was going to have to come from referrals because you didn't want to spend money. So then you took action to make one thing happen each week.
Yes.
What do you do if the goals aren't meeting your expectations? You're not hitting the goals or the markers. Like you've got one wedding booked instead of you thought you might have five by now. What do you do then?
You don't take it to heart. You don't beat yourself up too much about it because beating yourself up is just going to not get you. It's not going to help. So it's just reassessing and analyzing. So I look at goals every week. So every Sunday night is sort of planning the week and I look through what the goals are and where I've sort of moved forwards on them. I also once a month will analyze the goals and say, well, how am I actually overall going towards them? Do I need to adjust them? Was I actually being realistic when I set that goal? Because, you know, book 10 weddings by the end of March and it's the 1st of March. Was that really in a realistic kind of thing? It wasn't. So it might be reframing it, changing it. So goals, you know, hanging up everything and getting down about not hitting goals isn't going to move you forwards. So being able to reassess, change, or even remove goals is part of the process too.
Mm-hmm. Have you got a goal currently that you're working towards or one goal?
One goal. I'm actually pretty happy with it because my issue was having 12 years shooting weddings in Tasmania meant that I would book out my whole season in Tasmania and then I'd get referrals coming in from here in Victoria and I was booked out in Tasmania. So one of those things I had to decide on was how do I get more weddings in Melbourne? I have to take a hit for a season and say no to wedding dates in Tasmania, even though that I'm free for them, in the hope that I'd actually get the bookings over here. And so that's what this coming season is for me. So I've said no to what I know will be fairly prime dates in summer for weddings in Tasmania, knowing that, well, hoping that I would get some in Victoria because I know once I get a few in Victoria, then that will lead to more the next year and so on. So far that goal is working.
So what's the actual goal that you've got, you know, written down? Is it book more weddings in Melbourne or book a certain number?
So it was by the end of the 2016 wedding season, which I say is sort of May 31st, that I will have more weddings in Victoria than Tasmania. That was that basic goal. And that has actually happened. So I've actually got 2/3 of my weddings here in Victoria for this season.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, a third in Tas.
To achieve that, you had to say no to prime dates and hope that the other ones are going to come in. But you must have only just hoped. You must have actually been doing things to generate the bookings in Victoria.
Yeah, looking after customers, especially the ones I already had here, promoting more Victorian images on my Instagram and Facebook and things like that. So it was targeting. So like I have really great weddings in Tas, so I didn't post as many shots from them as I did from Victorian weddings so that it would come up more in people when they're looking and doing SEO and searching for things like that, that I would come up more on in the Victorian side of things rather than Tasmania.
Yeah, right, okay. Are you using this goal setting technique for personal projects too?
I do, yes. I haven't actually got a project on at the moment. I've got a couple I'm working towards that are sort of in that sort of incubator stage. But I know when I did Behind the Curtains, I definitely had goals set by then, set for that one. So the goals I had for that one was actually to have an exhibition at the Melbourne Comedy Festival in a CBD gallery for the duration of the festival. That was my goal in getting to that point.
So you start with the end goal and then work backwards like you have with the other things?
Yeah.
And you got it?
Yep, exactly.
Did you do it?
Yes. Yeah, that all happened. So it was at the Victorian Arts Centre, so which is one of the prominent venues here in Melbourne. So
unreal. So all in all, it's been pretty good for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
What do you do when you start to sway back and you start putting on a few kilos or you're feeling tired?
Again, I just sort of, I guess I'm more mindful of it now. So I know that where I was and I don't want to go back there. I also have a six-year-old running around who wants all the energy I can give her. So, yeah, I just sort of go, right, well, get back on track.
Yeah, so if you swing 1 kilo, is that like warning bells? Or is it 2 or 3 or 5 kilos before warning bells go off?
I don't really weigh myself that often.
Oh, really? So how do you tell?
Well, you can just tell. Like, I know when I'm in a fairly good state, and I know if I'm kind of going off it because it might be harder getting out of bed, or I might be feeling more tired in the afternoon. I might get that afternoon slump back, which I don't tend to get now. So once I sort of notice those, I go, right, well, you know, jump back on it a bit heavier and might be doing a deep 30-day kind of cleansing system or something like that to get me on track.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Last question for you. You wake up on New Year's Day, or I do, let's say, or the listener, and they've got a goal. They want to lose a certain amount of weight. They might even have a reason. How do you tell if it's a good enough reason? Or can you even tell if it's a good enough reason?
Well, I guess that comes down to how well you're progressing on it. Because if you're very serious for the reason, you're not going to let anything stop you. Hit that goal.
Yeah. See, if I use my example before, like I want to be faster, so I want to lose 5 kilos.
Well, why do you want to be faster?
Because I want to be better than my competitors.
So why do you want to be better than the competitors?
See, I knew this was going to happen with you. I can't believe it's taken this long. Because I want to win. I want to win the race.
So why do you want to win the race?
Yeah, it's probably for myself more than anything else.
So is it for your confidence?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think it's going to affect my confidence. You know what? It's to be as good as I possibly can be. And I don't think I am at the moment.
So you're happy with that one?
Yeah, that's a good reason.
And that's the kind of thing, I guess, we're all kind of wanting to be the best we can be at things.
Yeah.
And so if you really want to hit that and you want to make movement and move forwards in both, you know, in whatever the goal is, then you'll figure out a way to make it happen.
Yeah, so you did that again, didn't you? You suck, don't you? See, now you're making, I'm going to walk out there and not have that banana bread.
Has she actually made banana bread?
Yeah, I had it earlier. It was beautiful too. And I had 2 pieces. She's also made German Christmas cookies. There's still a nice big tub of them in the kitchen. It's gonna be...
They sound like they'd be perfect to give to your client.
They would be. Alan, this has been a pleasure, mate. Well, if people want to find out more, can you help them?
Yeah, definitely. As I said, there's been heaps of photographers who I've sort of helped with. I've sort of talked with, you know, world-leading photographers, like household name photographers who follow this system. So I'm more than happy to help anyone, photographers or not photographers, who want to try this. You know, if it works for them, it works for them. As I said, if it doesn't, it doesn't. Just find something that does and stick to it.
So what's the best way to find out about it?
They could just hit me up with an email if they'd like to. Yeah, that's probably the best way. Or connect with me on Facebook. I'm in the premium group, so if you're a premium member, you've seen me. We've probably chatted before. So if you just want to email photobat@photobat.net, so photobat@photobat.net, that's a great way to get in touch with me.
Very cool. I'll add links to, and can I add links to your personal Facebook page as well so people can see that photo? Or maybe we can use it in the show notes. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, go for it.
Cool, because that's impressive, mate. It really is.
Cool, thank you.
Mate, it's been a pleasure. Again, I'll talk to you most days inside the Facebook group, but nice to chat to you here on the show again, mate. So thanks for coming on and thanks for sharing your experiences and your knowledge.
Cool. Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.
Thanks, Al. That was good.
Cool.
You can relax. Well, I can relax.
I'm always relaxed.
You sound relaxed.
I should put some pants on.
I'm so glad I'm still recording.
I heard you press the button.
What have you got on for the afternoon?
I've got a wedding to edit. Just make sure I've got a couple of Isogenics people I've got to do consults with, just to check up on how they're going. Tonight there's a Nick Jonas is interviewing Jerry Jonas.
Oh, right.
Like, you know, theatre kind of thing, so I'm going off to that.
Oh, that'd be good.
So
busy, yeah. Busy.
Yes.
Very cool.
So you seriously want to get five kilos off?
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be nice. You know what? My problem is the commitment part, is committing to it. So yeah, I can say, yeah, I'd love to be 5 kilos less, but I know it's going to take a fair bit of work to do it.
Well, the average weight loss on this, which they put out and what is always in the disclaimers of how much weight you can lose on this, the average through research is, I think, 4.2 kilos in a month.
Right.
And that's what I've seen too. Like, that tends to be kind of a minimum, especially for guys.
Okay.
So 30 days, you can do it.
December, the worst month of the year?
Start in January.
Yeah.
Well, but again, like, it's always very flexible in that sort of way. I didn't say this, but the first week I was doing it, I still lost weight, but we had a full suckling pig meal out, like one of the fattiest meals I've ever had, you know, washing it down with beer and things like that. And I still lost weight that time. So it's just a matter of doing it around. And, you know, as long as you have essentially one of the shakes a day kind of thing, it just helps you keep that maintenance kind of going as you are losing. So.
What about the fact that I'm riding my bike a lot? So I didn't ride this morning, but I rode yesterday, the day before that. I'm actually going to race tonight.
Oh.
So, you know, how does that go with the fasting? Because I know it would be a mess if I didn't have anything to eat.
Well, basically, you might do a light ride on the fasting day.
Okay.
Nothing too crazy.
Yep.
Again, if Olympic athletes, I think there's some Olympic cyclists who actually use this as well. So
you pick your day carefully.
Yeah, you just sort of adjust it around things.
Mm-hmm.
So it works pretty well in that sort of sense. Like, I'm friends with some top-level personal trainers who, and that's probably what I'd kind of be doing. So if you were to do the system, I'd say, right, let's have a chat to Lockie. He's an elite, like, personal trainer. That's sort of his level. And he'd just sort of talk you through it and go, right, well, you might want to, on that race day, you might want to have an extra meal here, or you want to have an extra bit of protein here, or things like that, just to help give that extra boost on those days, because you are going to be burning more calories, so you need to put more in.
Yeah, okay.
When I was doing full on this year, when I broke my foot and did a 16-week challenge, and I broke my foot on the first day, and I was going to the gym, you know, every day of the week, you know, I was having five smaller meals a day.
Right.
So, and just incorporating it into that.
Okay. All right, I'm going to take you up on this in the new year. If I haven't got my goal, I'll do it, because I've been talking about it with you for long enough, so we can do it then.
Well, that's sort of the great thing about it. Like, it's always here if people want to sort of try it and do it. And I get, you know, that sort of thing, that feeling you get when you show the clients wedding photos and they're really happy.
Yeah,
that's the feeling I get from helping people with this as well. But it doesn't come once; it comes like every week or 2 weeks when people are just like. Andrew Esposito, who's one of the old school wedding photographers here in Melbourne. Yeah, he's like, he keeps ringing up going, hey, I've lost another 4 centimetres. I've lost.
All right, mate, I'll let you get into it. It was good to chat to you. I'll speak to you soon.
Yep.
Thanks, Alan.
Cool. Thanks. Bye.
All right, mate. Bye.